Welcome to The Pen and the Yad. Rabbi Michael Siegel of Anche Emet Synagogue in Chicago talks with author Jonathan Eig about this week's Torah portion of Akev, the blessing of food.
Do you remember the first time you went to a restaurant other than fast food? Like you went to a fancy restaurant and what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, I remember it really well because my family never went to what I would consider a fancy restaurant.
Nor did mine, by the way.
It was a Chinese buffet was about the high end for us. Ponderosa Steakhouse, that was it. Ponderosa was definitely like the high end for us. But when I was in college, I had a friend whose father was visiting, and he took us out to this very fancy restaurant. It was Ciel Bleu. It was in Chicago, atop, I think it was atop the Drake Hotel, somewhere over there. And I did not know what to do. I thought it was a joke. the waiter comes around and like fixes your napkin for you and puts it back on your lap when you get back from the bathroom. I thought the whole thing was hilarious. I didn't know people did that.
Well, I have to say that I don't have any memories of going to a restaurant quite of that caliber at a young age. I think our top end, high end was a smorgasbord, right? That was like a couple times, maybe once a year. I remember going there for the first time and this whole notion that you could actually go back for more. That was a whole kind of like amazing concept in my mind. And what's so funny is that today our kids would think nothing of going to a restaurant or a high end restaurant for that matter. It's part of the culture. Think about COVID and how restaurants survive by ordering in or pickup, right? And that's so much of the culture that we take advantage of restaurant food. And go to any grocery store, major grocery store, at least in our area, and you can get fruits and vegetables at any time of the year, right? You basically have an amazing selection of different foods, meats, whatever it is. It's right at your fingertips. And so it's easy to take for granted the gift of food, don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we live in such a world of abundance. And that's, we should add the asterisk here that there are still a shocking number of people who go hungry in this country every day, in this land of such wealth with so much abundant supply of food. There are still people who are inadequately fed in this country. But for those of us who have the money, there's an amazing supply and variety. So it's a bitter irony.
We talk all the time about conscious eating, right? Any diet plan will say that you shouldn't just, shovel the food in. You have to take in what you're eating, put your fork down in between bites, right? Be conscious of what you're eating. But that's one way of being conscious. But I think that what we often forget is there's a higher consciousness to eating as well. And that comes up in the Torah reading this week. This is the book of Deuteronomy. The people are entering the land. And God says to the people, or through the vehicle of Moses, that God is bringing you into a good land, right? This is an amazing land, an Eretz Tova. And then it lists all the attributes of the land, the plains, the hills, the wheat, the barley, and on it goes. And then it says, V'achalta v'savata uverachta et Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. And when you have eaten and you are satisfied, you should give thanks to the Lord your God for the good land which God has given you. It's kind of an amazing statement, don't you think?
Yeah, it is that it's a different level of mindfulness. And I have to say that during the quarantine, during COVID, especially in the early days of it, I began to think about this a little bit more. And maybe we all did. Like, how easy is it for that supply of food to be broken, for that system, for that chain to be snapped? If one cog, if the factory that's processing your food gets shut down, or if your deliveries, your truck drivers don't make it, or if we have a drought and God knows we're having massive changes in the weather right now, how easy is it to see that disrupted? And then what happens? We take it for granted that not only is the food going to be there for us, but it's going to be there in such vast supply and such rich variety. You're right. We don't stop to think about that often enough.
I think that's right. But what's interesting to me is where you went with this, because what you were talking about was the wondrous nature of the supply chain in our country.
Mm-hmm.
We saw these large meatpacking plants stop in the middle of COVID. And suddenly there was a crisis because people couldn't get meat. And on it goes. But what the Torah is talking about is a different consciousness. It says, and you will give thanks to the Lord your God for the good land which God has given you. And I wonder what this religious component does for us here. How does that affect anything? And why is it important? Because these words, v'chalta v'savakta uveirachta, they're going to be the entire basis of Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals, right? That's how the rabbis are going to concretize these words, and they're going to extend it into a series of blessings that we're, that we recite or traditionally recite after a meal, so that we connect what we're eating directly to God. And the question that I want to raise is, why? What does that do for us? What's the purpose of that?
Well, I think you correctly called me out for marveling at the miracle of of the economic supply chain, when in fact the miracle of the land and the sea and the life cycles that produce all of this, all these crops, is far more miraculous than any man-made economy. Maybe what we're supposed to do here is to pause and reflect on how miraculous it is that the world functions, that we have food that regrows, that we have land and rain that re-enriches it. And that's pretty hard to get your head around if without believing in God.
I think part of the issue here is that if you don't bless God after a meal, if we don't take this moment of wonderment, if you will, there's no big downside to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, we didn't do it, at least ostensibly. Whereas if the food chain breaks down, well, that's a whole different story. We felt that. People got nervous because suddenly the shelves were empty. And what do we do now? And so people begin to hoard and all kinds of other things that were going on in this country. But what I think we fail to think about, and I really wasn't calling you out, so I would feel badly if you thought I was doing that. But I think what is easy to miss here is the expansive nature of what belief or what attributing these blessings to God does for us. Because once you begin to have this kind of sense that what we are eating is a gift, then everything begins to look a little bit different, because suddenly it's no longer just my world to do whatever I want, take what I want, eat what I want, do what I want, but it's really about what do I do with this blessing and how does that extend beyond me? Because if I'm receiving this blessing, why aren't other people receiving this blessing? If I'm receiving this blessing, why? What am I doing to take care of the world so that we can enhance this blessing? I think that's a very interesting aspect of this Torah reading. By reciting the blessing, what we're actually trying to do is to expand our consciousness, but also to lead to real action that's going to sustain the world and sustain each other. And so it's a much more expansive understanding of it.
Yeah, I think that's really an important point. You know, it strikes me that for as long as there have been humans, there have been humans praying for rain. And isn't that really a prayer for help, for a prayer to God to sustain us? And when that rain finally comes and allows, you know, the crops to grow and for people to eat, what does the community do to, you know, how do we work together to feed ourselves, to make sure that no one goes hungry?
It often takes some sort of devastating event for us to think about it, right?
Right.
Like we have to wait for the drought, or we have to wait for the expansive heat waves to begin think about, you know, climate change, or otherwise we're much more inclined to just sit back and be complacent.
Yeah, that's right. Prayer was probably invented during a drought.
That's so interesting you said that, because we think that we pray when we need to pray, right? It's like the story of the guy who needed to find a parking space, and he was late for a job interview, and he's circling the block, and he's saying, finally, he begins to pray, and God, please, let me find a parking space. I've got to get in. I've got only 3 minutes, and I'll go start going to synagogue every Shabbos. I'm going to start keeping kosher. And suddenly, a space opens up right in front of him. And the guy looks up and says, never mind.
I like that.
Well,
we've all been there.
We've all been praying.
Maybe not you.
But the point of the matter is that when we only look at prayer in times of need, as opposed to times of gratitude, we miss the point of prayer. Heschel talks a great deal about the fact that Jewish prayer begins in gratitude, right? If you look at the prayer book, all of these prayers that lead us to the Amidah, the whole Pizuke de Zimra, that whole first section of the morning service, are all, you know, psalms, they're praises of God, that we're looking at everything to kind of raise our consciousness so that we can look at the world in a different way. And I think that's such a powerful idea, and it's such an interesting corrective to the notion, well, I won't bother you until, if you won't bother me until I need something.
So the first prayer may have come in a drought, but the second prayer, I hope, came when it rained.
There's an interesting idea here, and I think it really speaks to this larger notion of complacency. If you look at the Hebrew, it says, v'chalta v'savata uverachta. You will eat, you will be satisfied, and you will be blessed, and you will bless. What does the word satisfied have to do with anything? What if you'll eat and you'll bless? That's all we really need here. Why does the Torah, or God for this matter, add the savata, and you will be satisfied when you've eaten to your fill? And there's an interesting comment by Shlomo of Karlin, who says that when one eats in a spirit of gratitude, whether there's much food or little, the meal is satisfying. And I think that's an interesting idea, that when we are more conscious of what's in front of us and the blessing before us, it's a little bit more fulfilling. We're not so concerned about, well, I could have eaten this, I could have eaten that, but what we're eating is a blessing. And that kind of consciousness, I think, is very absent today in the world in which we live. Right? We sort of take it for granted. And when we take it for granted, I think we lose a lot, but we also lose the connection to each other, but we also lose a connection to God.
Let us be satisfied. There's a call there for pause, for a reflection. We don't do that often enough.
It's about taking a breath while you're eating and just saying, thank you.
Right.
This is wonderful. You know, this is a remarkable moment, and I'm blessed to have this. I think our society, I think our world, would be so much of a better place in so many different ways if we just took a moment after we ate and took a breath and simply said, God, thank you, right? We've eaten, I've enjoyed this, and I feel blessed. That's the beginning of a higher consciousness. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Rabbi.